Welcome to the Alcohol Free Life podcast, brought to you by thesoberclub.com. I'm Genuinely Grace. This is for you if you've quit the booze or you'd like to, or maybe you're just sober curious. I'll bring you tips and motivation without any judgment, and there'll be inspiration from experts, quitlet authors, and sober heroes. Hi, and welcome to the podcast. A big thank you to everyone who joined us last week or listened in last week for the 250th episode. It's really exciting to be celebrating that. And we had our event, of course, a few weeks ago. So really amazing event. Thanks so much to those of you who messaged me after the podcast to say how much they'd enjoyed it and who did some stuff on social media about what a great event it was. Thank you again to everyone who supported that. Claire Pooley, William Porter, Laura Willoughby, of course. And we're going to have another live podcast recording. We're going to do this one as a bit of a Christmas party. And that's going to be on December the 5th. So pop that date in the diary. Tickets will be on sale for that really soon. So thank you again. And of course, also last week, it was the fourth birthday of the Sober Club. And I didn't mention that last week, because of course it was just that live recording, and it kind of popped up and surprised me on the 7th of September. So just over a week ago, it was our fourth anniversary of the Sober Club. And oh my goodness, when I think back, just everything that's been achieved with that community, I'm just so grateful to everyone who's been part of it. I absolutely get a huge amount of from it. You know, it's not just that I run it. I'm kind of there 24/7 pretty much. It really is a bit of a labor of love. So I'm just very, very passionate about the stuff that goes on there. So I did put a little message on our group on the day that it was our fourth birthday. And I did say, you know, a big thank you to some people have been there since the very, very beginning, literally since day one. They were kind of waiting for the club to open. Thank you to everyone who's been a member along the way, everyone that's given money to our give back fund. That's a part of it that we kind of have a charity arm, as it were. So that's been really amazing. And then a very big thank you as well to those people who helped me get the Sober 360 coach training going, because that only came about because I popped a message on the Sober Club saying, is this something that, you know, is there anyone here who might want to add these skills onto what they do, or might want to think about training to be a sober coach, to work with gray area drinkers, to do the whole holistic picture? And a few people kind of wrote back and said, this is divine timing. So thank you to those who were part of our beta course, which was, goodness, 2 years ago now. And we've got one coming up in October, and then another one in January 2024, if that is of interest to you. So I said a big thank you for that. I also wanted to say a big thank you to everyone who has contributed to our Sober Club platform, because as part of the Sober Club, as you probably know, we have some blog posts and competitions, and we have our course, Get the Buzz Without the Booze. But we also have a huge portal, a huge archive of content, which is purely for members. And this stuff is like gold in there. It really is. And we cover all kinds of topics. There's masses on nutrition. There's loads on fitness, on finding your purpose, on creativity, on mindset. We've got meditations. We've got stuff about EFT and tapping. We have a whole load of cosmic stuff with people who do angel card readings, numerology. We've got things on, we've got some really interesting sessions on self-care and specific stuff around perhaps you are a highly sensitive person. I mean, it just goes on and on. Really, it's everything to do with health and well-being. And of course, not everything will float your boat, but hopefully a lot of it will. And it's been lovely how so many members have said, oh, it was only when I joined the Sober Club, I was opened up to just so many possibilities. And I've started to think outside the box. And now I'm really interested in what food I eat. And now I've started using skincare without chemicals, and on and on. So it's just been brilliant to see how it's evolved and how we've been able to share all this stuff with other people. So a big thank you to everyone who's been part of the Sober Club. I'm just going to read you a couple of these messages, because I put this post on the group and I said, as we're 4 years old, can you tell me in 4 words what you like about the club? So, of course, some people cheated and gave more than four words, but here's a few of them. Okay, somebody here wrote connection, support, inspiration, and positivity. Another said the road to freedom. I love that. Best discovery ever, ever. Support, connection, friendships, freedom. Gratitude, warmth, friendship, and support. Freedom, adventure, kindness, and friendship. Those words come up a lot. What else have we got here? We've got absolutely loads. Let's see if there's any difference. Advice, friendship, support, amazing. Somebody says here, happy birthday, the Sober Club. For me, it's been the safe, supportive, encouraging, inspiring place where I kept trying to stop until I did, for which I am so grateful and a huge thank you. It's more than four words, but you get the idea. So if you're not already a member, of course, I'm going to say, check it out. It's really, really low cost and really high value. And you really do get such incredible support and connection. And it's not just if you're early days. Lots of people say, oh, I don't really need it because I'm early days. Well, great. You know, we've got one member who's 13 years sober, because it's never only about not drinking. Of course, that underpins everything. But once you crack that piece, you know, please God, then look at everything else that can start to open up for you. And you have that support from people who've been there, done it. So they know how big it feels and they know just how amazing it is when you then go on and complete your next little challenge or go on and do something else that's felt really massive for you. So we become cheerleaders for each other, whatever is going on in our life. And I think that's one of the real huge benefits really in joining us. So do please check it out if you haven't already, thesoberclub.com. If it's not for you, but you'd still like to support some of this work, then just check out the Give Back Fund, or you can go to buymeacoffee.com/JanieLeeGrace if you'd like to contribute to the podcast, the now 250th episode podcast. By the way, if you want to sponsor the podcast, you're very welcome as well. If you've got something you would like to promote, if you've got a business that you would like to promote to this very engaged group of listeners, just drop me a message. We'll have a chat about it. I do have a few events I just want to share with you. Again, I know if you're not in the UK, it's like, oh, she's going on about events that I can't get to. But, you know, we do have one of our coaches coming over from the US to take part in our next constellation. So however far away you are, probably ain't that far. So it's quite impressive. But anyway, we are doing 14th of October, we've got a coach's day, a day for anyone who's an expert or a coach who wants to just do more around their heart-centered business. So you can message me for that one. Sunday, 15th of October is Family Constellations. It's a very special day. You have to come with an open mind. But yeah, please do join us if you'd like to. That's in Hertfordshire. Ahead of all of that, we still have spaces for the very last Sober by the Sea at our venue, at our lovely Seaview venue in Southend. So if you've been thinking, oh, I really want to get to one of those, then do come. It's on Sunday, the 24th of September, and there's a few places left. Just drop me a message for Sober by the Sea. We get to create a vision board. We get to focus on what you want for the future. It does not matter if you are day one or you're sober curious or if you've been sober for years. It's about everything that is going to be there for you for your future moving forward. So do please check that out. It's September 24th, as I say, that one's a Sunday. So we've got September the 24th, we've got October the 14th, October the 15th, and then November the 4th is Champneys, our Champneys event, Champneys in Tring, which is our self-care and sobriety retreat. Ahead of that, I should just give another mention for the Sober Guys Talking, Andy Blackman's after party event in Manchester. I'm going to be speaking at that. That's on October the 29th. I think I've got all those dates straight in my head. So back on Constellations for a moment. Really hope you're going to enjoy this week's guest. I actually interviewed Anu for my other show that I do for UK Health Radio, but I realize there's just so much here that is, I hope, of interest for you guys, a fascinating woman. I hope you enjoy it. Well, anyone who listens to my show will know that I am such a fan of talking about family constellations and intergenerational trauma and looking at ancestral stuff. And so you can just imagine how delighted I was when I saw this book, Heal Your Ancestral Roots. And I'm absolutely thrilled that the author, Anu, is on the line with me. Anu, thank you so much for joining me.
Oh my God, Jenny, thank you so much for having me. It's my pleasure to be here.
Before we go any further, tell us your full name, because I'd much rather you pronounce it. It's a beautiful name, but I don't want to not do it justice.
My full name is Anuradha Dayal Gulati.
Gorgeous.
But
I love it.
I go by Anu.
Yeah,
a Anu. Lot easier.
Cool. Okay. So look, before we get into the book then, which I'm dying to talk to you about, let's just take me back in time, because you started off working in something very different in economic stuff, which is, you know, sounds a little bit different to being a certified energy practitioner specializing in ancestral and emotional healing. You started off in a very different field, finance, academics. How did that come about?
Yeah. You know, I think as I look back, it was something that was meant to happen. But of course, when it did, it happened in a very traumatic way. I actually had a health problem and I had to go into the ER. And I came out, you know, thinking, this is it, get back to life as usual, like pick yourself up. And then one night out of nowhere, I had to go back into the ER again. And I remember starting to feel a little scared, like what's going on? But I came out, it was when I had to go in the third time that I started to feel the sense of despair sweeping over me, the sense of powerlessness and helplessness. And I could tell from the doctors that they didn't really know what was going on. But I had a very dear friend and she came to see me in the hospital. And, you know, she held my hand and she looked at me and she said, Anu, what is it going to take for you to change? How many times are you going to go through this? And her words, like, I still feel them so much today, even today. And I literally willed myself out of the hospital and I began to explore alternative methods of healing. So I discovered this amazing Chinese medicine doctor. And I also found flower essences. And those two things together, they changed the trajectory of my life. And When I look back, I think what that incident really taught me is how important hope is in our life. And that then became my mission, that I wanted people to realize that you are never powerless, that you can create change. And this is what I feel I want people to understand, that they can do it.
Yeah, totally. And so when you first started to kind of train and get into this kind of work then, I mean, it's just there's so many things we can talk about. It's hard to know where to start, isn't it? But tell us what your understanding is then of transgenerational patterns. What does that mean to you, and why is it so important when we think about healing?
Well, I think, you know, when we think about transgenerational patterns, we have to think about who are our ancestors. And, you know, a lot of times we think, oh, it's our parents and grandparents. But in a lot of Eastern traditions and in the Native American traditions, our ancestors are not just our parents and grandparents, but it includes those who came up to seven generations before us.
Yeah.
And if you think about it, that's a lot of mothers and fathers. That's like 252 mothers and fathers that need to have existed for us to be here on Earth today.
Yeah. Have you seen that fantastic image? Sorry to interrupt you for a minute. I'll come back to it. But well, when we do our Constellations Days, we often show that wonderful image that looks a bit like a peacock, where you've got the person at the front and then almost like peacock feathers, all of these incredible ancestors behind. It's such a powerful image because it makes you realize that you're there right at the front. You can actually break the cycle of all of that. But it also makes you realize, wouldn't it be amazing if, as you say, if you actually had all of that support without any breaks in the chain, how amazing would that be?
Yeah. Oh my goodness. I haven't seen that image. And even as you're saying it, I can see it, but I have to go look for it now.
Yeah. Sorry, carry on.
No, but because we are the part of our ancestors that lives on, when they move on or when they're passed, there is what is unresolved in the lineage. We take on a piece of what is unresolved and, take it on ourselves to heal it unknowingly. It's not like we knowingly sort of step into this area. But when we do that, we not only heal ourselves, we heal those who came before us. And because we are the ancestors for those who come after us, up to seven generations that follow, our actions influence those that are yet to come. So it's really powerful work. And the existence of sort of these transgenerational burdens is how we are called to do the healing work.
Absolutely, really is. I mean, as you know, I work with family constellations, and I'm always absolutely amazed at the impact that the work has, not just on the person doing their own healing, as it were, but you can just see in the energy field the impact it has on the ancestors, and you just know that in some way this is actually healing it for them as well. It's so powerful, isn't it?
Yes, and it's just amazing. I find, at some level, all the ancestors want to teach us. They want us to learn, to get wiser. And you get this feeling that, they really want to make amends. Because it's when you go into that space, there's that feeling of wanting to m make amends for what they couldn't do in their lifetime.
On our last workshop, which I'm still kind of buzzing from because it was quite recent, we had a very interesting constellation where the person had this issue that they felt that they always had to work really, really hard, like literally work themselves half to death. But then, even if they got close to some kind of success, the money would just disappear. They would just end up, back where they started almost. And they could see that this was the pattern that their father had also had, working incredibly hard, then ended up losing a business and really being incredibly poor, despite putting all that energy in. And then they knew of a grandparent, so we could immediately see this male line going back of this incredible work ethic, but this kind of belief that we have to work really hard, but we can't hang on to money, and it's just fascinating, isn't it, how some of this, along with, of course, many other things, would have been just passed on and passed on and passed on. It's really fascinating. And we try and carry
We are so loyal to our ancestors, unconsciously loyal. And I think this is why the ancestral healing work becomes so important because, it shifts from being loyal to like a pattern to inviting their blessings for moving forward. And it's about shifting that energy. Because how do we shift that energy? How do we shift this energy that's acting as a ceiling on our life?
It's so true. And of course, because of the work that I do with a lot of people who are wanting to stop drinking, for example, we see the role of addictions coming up as well, which is always quite interesting. Sometimes we'll actually place someone to represent alcohol or to represent, an addiction. And that's really fascinating how through the ancestral line, that's been their way of coping. But when we get to the person who is able to perhaps, have a different path and doesn't actually have to take that on anymore, you must have seen some incredibly powerful shifts with the work that you've done.
It is really amazing. I have to say, Janie, one of the reasons why I ended up writing the book, which is not nothing that I ever really intended to do, but I would look at family constellation work and I would wonder, where are we going? And then I was like, what's the shortcut? I always wanted to find out what's the shortcut. And that's when it struck me that all these traditions all over the world, especially in the Far East, but South America, Western Europe, All Souls Day, things like that. They were ways of, they were the shortcuts. They were ways of honoring the ancestors so that their energies would move up, and by acknowledging them and honoring them, which is in some sense just accepting them for what they are, instead of sort of railing at them or trying to fix them, you could actually start to shift the energy you were holding. You could shift how you were carrying it.
I mean, it's not done so much here, though, is it? It's sort of naturally. I mean, we don't typically honor our ancestors. We sort of don't. I mean, I must admit, until I, found out about family constellations and saw the power of it, I had no concept of even, it was difficult enough to honor my, sort of have any honoring, as it were, for my parents, let alone any other ancestors. I mean, I felt very, very, very separate from them. And I think that is very often the case. We don't feel that we're connected in any way. So we don't, it's hard to understand the importance of honoring. Can you explain why it is so important, even if we don't feel a deep connection with our family of origin?
Yeah, and I think part of it is because these patterns repeat. So in the Indian tradition, and I think in the Buddhist tradition too, often souls are not able to like move on to higher planes, and they get sort of stuck. And then because we are their descendants, the work we do in honoring them, acknowledging them and sort of praying for their souls, this allows them to move on. And when they do that, they start to become much more helpful. And their energies are not hanging around us anymore. And Alberto Villoldo, who's a Cuban American medical anthropologist, he went to South America and he saw these ancestral altars. And he said, in the West, we thought of these ancestral altars as ancestor worship. He said, this is not ancestor worship. He said, you want to know where your ancestors are. Otherwise, they're running amok, ruining your life. So I thought this distinction was really important because we're not praying to our ancestors per se. We're praying for them, for their souls to lift up. To let go of the feeling of being a victim of what came before us. Yeah, so as we do that, we reclaim our power, and then we can start to create the life we want. We can start to, follow our dreams as opposed to like feeling the sense of being stuck or feeling like you talked about the constellation you just did, where you work really hard, nothing materializes, the financial success never happens, you fall back into poverty. So we are able to let go of those patterns and those cycles. Yeah, and that's how the ancestral world speaks to us, through patterns and repetition of events, repetition in cycles, emotional response patterns. It's how it's talking to us all the time.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know in your book you suggest that we can create an ancestral altar. So how would we do that?
And I think it doesn't have to be like a certain type. There's a lot of freedom to create it in whatever way appeals to you. So you can use a small table, a shelf, place a cloth that either is a, red, which is the color of the root chakra or the color of the family bonds, or any other fabric that sort of appeals to you. And place on it objects that either you might have something that represents your family. If you don't, I've seen people place an antique map, anything that's part of whatever your ancestry is.
And what about those people who don't know, though? Because there'll be people thinking, oh, well, that's all very well, but I didn't really know my parents, or maybe they were adopted and they don't have a lot of knowledge. Can we still honor the energies?
Yes, absolutely. And we can even just bring in a representation from nature. you know, Mother Nature is the ultimate mother, mother of all mothers, mother of all fathers. You know, and that's one of the ways in which we also suggest making the altar, like just bring in elements from nature if you don't have anything else.
Yeah.
But I do feel it's really important not just to do that, but also to use, you know, the five elements to transmute the energies of the altar. So, you know, fire, which is a transformative element, incense, candles, flowers, they absorb negative energy and they also bring in higher frequencies that allow the energy of the altar to lift. Water is another one, sound, chimes, bells. And also because the ancestral altar like is a way of, you know, anchoring or attracting certain energies, you don't want to have it in your bedroom. So it's best to keep the ancestral altar like, you know, in a hallway or living room or anywhere else.
Right, right. I absolutely love this idea because I think thank you for making it so clear. I did an interview not so long ago with a woman who was talking about her sobriety and talking about how every single day she lights a candle for some family members who she honors, you know, in getting past their addictions. And I love that concept. And then a few weeks ago, I did some constellation work, and one of the young women in our group, her issue was around acceptance. Well, in her case, there was some shame around her Jewish ancestry. And it was just so powerful because we had someone represent the Jewish ancestors. And it the constellation just showed that they felt they hadn't been seen, you know, they hadn't been honored. It was so powerful. And of course, we were able to shift some of that energy within the constellation. And then the recommendation was that she goes and does some kind of ceremony of, you know, whatever felt right, some kind of ceremony to honor them. And well, this would just be perfect, wouldn't it, to actually create this ancestral altar.
Yes. And, you know, a lot of people who start the practice of honoring their ancestors, like I've seen among my clients, one of the most immediate feelings they report is feeling a sense of peace.
Yeah.
And I think that is really wonderful because you have, so that means something settles inside of you.
Yeah.
And I think that is really beautiful because when the ancestors are not seen, they make their presence felt.
Yeah.
And, you know, I want to just add, in India, we don't really have ancestral altars per se, but we do have altars. A lot of homes have altars. And those become a way of anchoring the energy of the space. Because, you know, if all this energy is around, ancestral energy, other negative energies, then that energy needs a place to be anchored. And I realize this when I recognize this about the ancestral altars, that altars in general are a way of anchoring energy.
Yeah.
And so just stopping there with gratitude or, you know, offering your sorrow, offering your grief. I mean, the people who were dealing or struggling with the addiction or the alcohol, there must have been some grief that led to that. So, you know, when we find a place to discharge these emotions, that also becomes a way of supporting us.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So you have a framework called HOME, H-O-M-E. Tell us about that.
Yeah, it's, you know, everything sort of begins with this sense of disconnection from ourselves. And it begins in childhood. And a lot of times it begins with, you know, people telling us like, oh, you shouldn't feel that way. Or you're too emotional, or you should have got over it by now. How come you're still grieving? It's these beliefs that we're sort of given that emotions are not good. There's a timetable for our emotions. If you're too emotional, there's something wrong. But actually, our emotions are the most important thing we have because they're like a compass. They're telling us something about ourselves. They're telling us about where we've disconnected from ourselves. And I think, you know, it's kind of interesting when we meet someone, we're like, hi, we sort of hug them or smile and they mirror it back to us. If they don't mirror it back, we think there's something wrong with them, or we might think there's something wrong with us, but we're never acknowledging our own emotions, never giving them space.
Yeah.
And so that's beginning a sense of disconnection with ourselves. And the other thing I feel, Janie, is, you know, we sort of have bought into this idea that we're rational beings. We're rational beings, you know, who kind of have emotions, which is a messy sort of inconvenient thing. But if we flipped it and we said, you know, we're emotional beings and we rationalize our emotions, then we allow our emotions to have center stage. And
yeah.
we can honor them and move forward. And that's what we really need to do.
Wow, I could talk to you forever. So what is the one thing that you would like, you know, readers to take away after reading this book? I mean, there's a lot in there. You know, what's the kind of the one message you'd like to pass on?
I would say that for everyone, you know, we're all on a journey. And there's an African proverb that sums it up. It says, when you cut your chains, you free yourself. When you cut your roots, you die. And I think we're all on this journey to honoring our roots, honoring our ancestors, but cutting the chains that sort of condition and bind us. And we do that by restoring connection to ourselves. So my one thing I would love any listener to sort of take away is, don't let anyone break that connection to yourself. Like, restore it. And that brings you back to wholeness and reclaiming your power.
Yeah, I love it. Anu, thank you so much. I hope we get to meet up at some point. I'd love to come and love to meet you, and we should do a constellations or something together.
I'd
amazing.
Love that. I'd love that. Thank you, Janie. Thank you so much for having
me. The book
me.
Is super exciting. It's just great that the book's out there, so mainstream. It's wonderful. Heal Your Ancestral Roots. And the author, Anu, would you say your full name again once more for us?
Yeah, Anuradha Dayal Gulati.
Fantastic. Love it. Thank you so much for being a great guest. And we'll put all those links in the show notes.
Thank you, Janie. Thanks again.
Thank you, Anu. So just one more reminder then that if some of that stuff interests you, Family Constellations is October the 15th in Hertfordshire. Just go to thesoberclub.com, click on events, you'll find all the information there, or you're always very welcome to drop me a message if you want more information. Don't forget, just if you're struggling, reach out. You know, whatever's going on for you, don't hole up, just reach out. You'll always get the support that you need. I really believe that, but you do need to reach out first. So if you want to contact me at Janie Lee Grace, you know where to find me. Check out thesoberclub.com, and you know, I'm easy to find on social media. So have yourself a fantastic week, and I will see you next time. Thank you for listening to the Alcohol Free Life podcast, brought to you by The Sober Club. Please rate and review. And if you want support, accountability and inspiration, and you want to live your best life without the booze, check out thesoberclub.com.